Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we have been looking at how we need to respond to the Word of God. And I would like to read our passage this evening, beginning in verse 22. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Last Sunday night, we began this look at how to respond to God's Word. And we began by looking at how we initially receive the Word of God. And I said that the way you leave has already been affected by the way you come in. So the heart we bring to God's Word has an impact on how we are going to respond to God's Word, how we are going to react to God's Word. So last Sunday night, we looked at our heart and we said, three things needed to be true of our heart. First of all, it needed to be receptive, needed to be open and ready to hear God's Word. We looked at three parts of it: quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You are receptive to God's Word. You know, if you walk into church and you say, I dare you to bless me, and there's not anything you're going to say that I really want to hear, then we're already done. If you walk in and all you're doing is saying, you know, you're looking for something to pick apart, to pull apart, so that you can say, ah, see, what he said is all garbage anyway, then we're already done. We have to have a receptive heart. Then we have to have a clean heart. If your heart's full of moral filth, it's hard to receive God's Word. If your life is full of immorality, it's hard to respond to God's Word. Have to have a clean heart. Then thirdly, we have to have a humble heart. A humble heart's a teachable heart. Open and teachable to God's Word. So receptive heart, a clean heart, a humble heart, as we sit and listen to God's Word. I want to continue that tonight. So now we have that heart. We've heard God's Word. And we sit and we say, all right, what's next? I've heard God's Word, I've listened to it, I've received it, my heart is open, I'm ready, sitting here, got it all in. What's next? How do I respond? How do I now then take what I've heard, what do I do? Well, number one, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived, be a doer. Notice verse 22 with me. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So he states it negatively first by saying, don't merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourself. You know, it's unfortunate. A lot of Christians think, or quote Christians think, that the sum total of Christianity is coming to church. We come and hear the Word and we go home and nothing more. We come learn a few new facts or a few new revitalized facts, a few things we're reminded of. We go home and that's it. You know, all you have to do is look around at church attendance polls in America. Look around at polls that claim that, you know, a certain percentage is born again. And then look at lifestyles. Look at how Christians, quote Christians, vote. We begin to realize that the sum total of some people's Christianity is simply coming to hear the Word, but it has no impact on their lives. I want you to notice a word that is used here. Right in the middle of verse 22, it's the word deceive. It's an interesting word. It means to cheat or deceive oneself by false reasoning. To cheat or deceive oneself by false reasoning. In other words, you have sit and listen to the facts and you've kind of reasoned through them. And after you've reasoned through your thought process, your thinking, the end result is you are self-deceived. And here's the deception. Deception is thinking that I can sit and soak and I'm a good Christian. I'll sit and listen to God's word. I'll soak it all in. But that's it. I think sometimes we fight so strongly just to get people to come to church that once we get them in church, we think we're done. James says, look, when you begin to think that way, you're deceiving yourself. Because Christianity is far more than just listening to the Word of God. It is far more than just reading the Bible. Now you heard some people say, well, I read the Bible through again this year. Okay, well, how's that changed your life? How are you different? How are you more like Jesus? How are you serving God in new ways? Or maybe just serving God more? Or maybe just living more for Christ? The deception comes from thinking that we have done all that is necessary when actually listening to the Word of God is simply the beginning, not the sum total. So he then states it positively and he says, look, do what it says. Pretty simple statement. Do what it says. If you want to really understand Christianity, Christianity is not about the hearing. It is about the doing. The word used for do is a word that is used for a performer or a poet. It simply means that you're doing. You're performing what you've heard. You're doing what you've listened to. You are going out and living all that you've read. We are not just to learn, we are to live. And if all we are doing is learning and we are not living, we are deceived. And I am afraid that there are many, many, many professing Christians that are deceived. Because they think Christianity is simply a matter of hearing and listening to, but not doing. Does not necessarily mean that overnight that, you know, we are the perfect Christian. But it does mean that what we are hearing, we are going out and we are doing. We are going out and we are living. In fact, take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Let me show you an example of this, or this truth being stated. Matthew chapter 7. And I want you to turn to the end of the chapter. And I'm not going to give you the verse yet. I will in a second. Just go near the end. In Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, we have what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. It is clearly the best sermon ever given. Jesus gave it. How can you do better than that? He goes up on the mountain, he begins to teach, to preach to his disciples about living the Christian life, about kingdom living. So he does this in chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, some of the greatest truths ever given. And then he gets to the end of the sermon, down in verse 24. And he gives the conclusion of his sermon. In 24, 5, 6, and 7, and here's what he says. Follow along with me. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, all right, we're done. Let's go home. You've all heard it. Now let's just go home. There's nothing more. Well, notice, Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, he is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. When the rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. People look at this passage and they try to spiritualize it away and they say, the rock, that's Jesus. Well, in other passages, the Bible talks about the rock being Jesus, but not here. The rock here is not Jesus. The rock here is hearing the word of God and then putting it into practice. When you hear God's word and you put it into practice, when you do that in life, it is like building your house, your life, on a solid rock. When the storms come, when the waters rise and the winds blow, you're solid. Why? Because you've lived out the word of God. You're the wise man. You're the wise woman. In verse 26, the fool is the one who hears the word of God, but he does not put it into practice. So Jesus ends his sermon and says, look, if you want to be wise, take everything you've heard and begin to live it. Take all the things you've heard and go out and do it. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 28. Greatest sermon ever given. Matthew 28, we have the greatest commission ever given. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Again, Jesus speaking. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them. All right, you're done. Go out and make disciples, baptize them, teach them, and you're complete, you're finished, you're done. Why don't you notice what he says? Teach them, what's the next word? To obey. Greatest sermon. If you want to be wise, now go do it. The greatest commission. Look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out and I want you to teach people the word of God. But don't just inform them. I want you to teach them to then go and obey what they've heard. So James says here in James chapter 1, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to not deceive yourselves by thinking you are a great Christian by going out and hearing all kinds of sermons, but not putting it into practice. My favorite radio station is K-Love. It's 88.3, and if you listen to K-Love, you know that it's been off. I called them the other day, and they said they're having a problem with one of their repeaters in the area and that they're working on it, and hopefully they're going to have it back up. And I said, well, are we talking hours, days, weeks, months, years? Well, we don't know. So I've been out without my favorite radio station. So there are some others, WRGN and others I've been listening to. You know, in our day, with television, the internet, radio, cell phones, churches, I mean, you could hear God's word 24 hours a day. We could just kind of suck it all in. But how much of it are you really living out? How much of it are you really doing? It's the doing of the word of God that makes us wise, not the hearing of the word of God. In fact, the Bible says that if all you do is hear and you don't do, you better really go back and may want to check whether you really are a Christian or not. 1 John says this, the man who says, I know him, but does not do. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So if you're hearing the word of God, but you're not out doing the word of God, John says, hey, you don't even know God. So be careful you're not deceived. Be a doer of God's word. Secondly, reject this way of living. Jesus gives some examples here, furthers this truth, and what I want you to do is to reject this way of living. Don't you love that cough? She is not infectious. I just want you to know that. She's over it, but she sure doesn't feel good. That cough is horrible. So don't worry, you're not going to get anything from her. Verse 23, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says, like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So he's looking at his face in the mirror, but after he sees his face, he immediately goes away and he forgets what he looks like. Now, I want you to know, that wouldn't bother me if I didn't remember what this mug looked like. But this is an example of hearing the word of God, but not doing the word of God. Let's pull it apart. Verse 23. He looks at his face in the mirror. Now, I read a number of commentaries this week, and what these commentaries said, this is a guy who kind of comes to church, really isn't listening, kind of just surface hearing, and he runs out the door. But I want you to know that's not what this guy is. The word here, look, is a word that means to give attentive scrutiny to an object, to examine it. I mean, you are really looking over the object, and it helps us understand the mirrors of those days. The mirrors of those days was a piece of flat metal that had been polished. So when you looked in a mirror in that day, it wasn't like looking in the mirrors we have today where you could see clearly. It was looking in a mirror where you kind of had to move it and get the right light and just get it so that you could really get a good look of yourself. So this guy's kind of moving the mirror around so he can really scrutinize what he looks like. The person that's being spoken of here is a person who comes to church and they're really listening. Or you're home reading your Bible and you're really looking and thinking it through. Listening attentively. But what happens is when he walks away, when she walks away, they immediately, at once, right away, they forget what they looked like. Can't recall it. Out of sight, out of mind. So the person comes to church and they sat and listened, but when they walked out the door, they've kind of forgotten what they've heard. And the Bible, the truth of God's word, no impact, no effect. Doesn't touch their life whatsoever. They just walk away and God's word was heard at church and boom, that's as far as it went. Now, James is not talking about you maybe forgetting something you've heard. Connie has a book and it's How to Train Your Mind. She just got it, sent away for it. My Christmas present was in the box, so I'm looking for that box. If you find a box that has Connie's name on it, my Christmas present is in there, so show it to me. But she got this book, and it's How to Train Your Mind. And, you know, in the book it says, at least part of what it says, is that the problem so often with our minds as we age isn't just a matter of age. It's a matter of not using our minds. And there are ways that you can train your mind to allow it to remember, to help it to remember quite longer than the average person, because the average person isn't working on their mind. So what it does is it gives you tools that you don't know. If you have this kind of brain and use these kind of tools, it helps you with these kind of tools to get your brain doing other kinds of things. And if your brain's over here, then it gives you these kinds of tools. This is not talking about simply forgetting something. It's talking about the fact that when you go home, you don't live. It's talking about the fact that when you hear God's word, the forgetfulness is not doing God's word. It's not living it out. You've heard it, but there's no impact. It's gone in your head. It's even gone in your heart, but there's been no result. Kind of like hearing a sermon on forgiveness, but you're unwilling to forgive. Kind of like hearing a sermon on Philippians, which we'll be getting to on Sunday morning, and Paul talked about straining ahead to get what God has called us heavenward, and you say to yourself, I'm just not into that. Don't live this way. You remember back in the Sermon on the Mount, this was the foolish living? This is the guy, the woman who hears the word of God, but they don't do it. Reject that way of living in your life. Come to church, and when you come to church, say to yourself, I want to hear the truth of God's word, and I want to know how I live that out, and I really want to change. I really want to become like Christ. You know, I think us Christians have more excuses than the average person could ever think of. Seems like we have all kinds of reasons why we can't be obedient to God's word. I should have written them all down over my lifetime being a pastor so I could write a book. I could have maybe 100 chapters on excuses why we don't do what God's word says. You know, it's too hard. It's not my personality. I can't do it. I could go on and on. Reject that way of living and pursue this way of living. Verse 25. Pursue this way of living. The rejection you should have is hearing but not doing. The pursuing is the hearing plus the meditating plus the doing. So we're rejecting hearing but not doing, but we are pursuing hearing, meditating, and doing the word of God. Let me show you in verse 25. But the man who looks intently. It's a different word from the word above, looking in the mirror. This word means to stoop down and to get a good look. Now, I can't do that too much or I won't get back up. But the idea is stooping down to really, like if you're going to look under the table and you want to really get a good look, it's the word that was used of Mary and the others when they went to Jesus' tomb, and it said that they looked into the tomb. They stooped down, they looked around, they got a really good look of what was inside. And they looked at the perfect law. Notice it says, verse 25, they looked intently into the perfect law, that is the sum of God's word. The perfect law that gives freedom. I mentioned this morning that the president signed the hate crimes bill in my Sunday school class. And on the surface, it sounds like a great thing, but really underneath, the only people it's probably going to hurt is Christians, especially preachers who preach the truth of God's word. I can see a time in America where living the Christian life will be outlawed, and you will be thrown in jail just for being a Christian and speaking out on your moral views according to the word of God. You know, so we look at this world. And this world says, God's word, that restricts. God's word enslaves. I don't want to live the Christian life. I want to be free to do whatever I want to do. I want to be free to live with someone if I want to outside of marriage. I want to be free to say whatever I want to say. I want to be free to live whatever lifestyle I want to live. I want to be free to do as I feel, to do what I want, to think the way I want. I want to be free to do whatever makes me feel good. In this world, living that way does not realize that they're more enslaved than they could ever imagine. It is God's word that gives freedom. So the person who is wise is the one who looks into God's word. He hears it. He hears what God's word is saying. He's listening to what God's word is saying. He's reading the word of God. He's giving careful attention to it, this word that gives freedom. And then I want you to know he meditates on God's word. Verse 25. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, the word continue means to stay or remain at something. To continue on a course of action, to keep on keeping on. So he's hearing the word of God, reading the word of God, listening to it preach, and he's continuing to do that. You know, sometimes when I go to bed, not so much these days because the medicine I'm on, but, you know, I'll hear a song, a Christian song in my head, a chorus, and it won't let me get to sleep because it keeps going over and over and over in my head. You know, sometimes I'm studying God's word and thinking about God's word, and I can't get to sleep because the thought just won't go away. It just keeps going over my head just like the song. To meditate on God's word means to go to God's word and just let it revolve around in your head. Think about it from every angle. You know, ask yourself, how does this fit with my life? How can I take what I'm hearing and live it out? How can I take what I'm hearing and teach it to others? How can I live in such a way that I'll please God and then show others how to do the same? He continues to do it. He's meditating on God's word. And then notice, verse 25. Not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. Not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it. He hears, he meditates, and then he obeys. He doesn't forget like the first guy. He goes out and he does it. The difference between the first guy and the second guy is the second guy goes out and he does it. He continues to meditating on the word of God, and as he thinks it through, he goes out and he lives it out in his life. All he hears, he applies. I mean, think about this statement that's behind me most of the time. Opening doors to God's word to do what? Transform lives. There's not a point at which that stops. Are you becoming more like Jesus? Can you say to others, follow me as I follow Christ? Can you take your life and every area of your life and say, you know what, I'm not perfect, but I am following Jesus. I am working my heart to do what God wants me to do. I have not given up. I have not turned away from God, but I'm continuing on the path that God wants me on. So even though I'm not perfect, I can say to you, follow me as I follow Christ, because I'm headed in the right direction. What's the direction of your life? I think something great has happened in our church. Something awesome has happened in our church. We have a youth leader that has been looking for years for something that he believed God wanted him to do. And did a lot of things around the church, helped in a lot of different ways, but really just didn't find his niche that he felt God really wanted him to do. And we got a guy now, Martin, that loves the kids of this church. Now, it amazes me how much he loves the kids of this church and what he wants to do for the kids of this church. And the one thing he wants them to do, he wants them to become like Christ. He wants to see real change in their lives. And he is sacrificing and he is working and he's heading in a direction to do that. We ought to be praying for him. We ought to be, you know, on our knees for him and all the other people that are going to help him to reach out into the children of our church. And not just the children of our church, the teenagers, but kids outside our church that they're reaching out to and they're bringing them into our church. I think some awesome things are going to happen. if Satan doesn't get his nose in. And that's the same thing that ought to be happening in our lives. You know, as you get older, you ought not to be getting stinkier. You ought to be filling up with the truth of God's word and squeezing it out in other people's lives. You ought to be discipling people just by your very walk and your very life itself. James says, look, the thing that needs to be true of your life is you need to be a doer. And if you're coming to church and listening to radio, internet, wherever, and all you're doing is kind of filling it in, soaking it all up, you've deceived yourself. I mean, you've really missed it. Christian life is about doing, living out what we hear. Don't be deceived. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father God, I pray here that every heart might hear and transform, might hear and change, might hear and obey. Father, work in hearts and lives. Help us, Father, to become like your Son. Change us, Father. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen.